Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So let me share with you our scripture verse for today. This is Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 18, and continuing with our living, a life worth living study that we're doing this summer. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles or in your iPhones or on the screen. Therefore, my beloved, and keep in mind that the word therefore is pretty important. If you remember what we talked about last week, the emptying of Christ, that hymn that comes up in Philippians, this is the response to that. So out of all that, therefore, of what Christ did for us, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you're the kind of person who actually pays attention to sermon titles that I dream up, and that's about Monday morning for me, is sitting around dreaming up a five-word sermon title. But you'll see today, it's time to shine. And obviously, you're going to think about light, and you're going to think about darkness. You're going to think about what it means to be a shining star in here. But before I start exegeting the scripture passage and really extrapolating the meaning out, I do want to say a word about the Philippian church as appearing lights in the world by talking about koala bears. Now, the Lessner family loaded up in the family truckster about a month ago to go check out the newest members of the Dallas Zoo family. If you've gotten any of the advertisements or heard them on the radio, and Lindsay and I were doing this masterful marketing job for the Dallas Zoo with our own kids, building up just how cuddly and cute and entertaining this little marsupials would be to our oldest daughter who just turned 3. And so Lindsay's excited, Arden's excited about all this. We'd shown her pictures, we'd shown her videos on the internet of koala bears in action. Kyler mainly just wants to sit in the stroller and eat puffs and, you know, wants something to play with. But I'm excited about all this. And we get our tickets and we go into the Dallas Zoo and we immediately go in, we go past the carousel, we turn right and we go down to check out the new Down Under exhibit. We'd been there to see the wallabies and the kangaroos before, but the koala bears were the new thing. And we thought, surely Arden, who loves these cuddly, puffy animals, is going to dig the koala bears, moving around and playing. Now, the outer facade when you get there is certainly, they spent a lot of money on this. It's this bamboo decorated house is surrounded by eucalyptus trees, the koala bear's favorite food. And so you kind of feel as though you're entering into an authentic environment. When you go in there, it was obvious that this was one of the new shining star attractions of the Dallas Zoo. They had done the Giants of Africa or whatever in Savannah before that. And so now they were focusing on the Australian side of things. And they had obviously spent a lot of money to make this a shining example. There were staff members stationed at every turn so they could tell you where to go. It was very welcoming. It was not very welcoming when they told us that we had to carry everything we had and leave the stroller behind. But we made it in there. We got there with our huge bags of what you have with kids. Now, this day happened to be a little cloudy. When it was a little overcast, which combined with all the tree cover around in this area of the zoo, made for our eyes to be adjusted for dark. And so as we walked into the koala bear's habitat, they have these blinding, or what seemed like blinding those days, floodlights, just illuminating both of the rooms where the koalas are attached to their little perches and being all cute and cuddly. And I thought for a little bit that was a little rude because the koala bears were asleep. And so, but they wanted to make sure that you saw the koala bears. I mean, it's blinding when you walk in. You cannot help but your eyes be shocked a little bit by the halogen, the LED, the fluorescent bulbs, everything combined to make this wonderful new attraction for the brand new koala bears. And like I mentioned, what I thought were going to be two jumpy, cuddly, playful little koala bears, little animated balls of fur that I could show to my daughter and laugh with her and everything, turned out to be two tree stumps with two undistinguishable balls of fur that will cuddle up into something that made us kind of go, eh? Really? This is it? Now, I'd seen koala bears before, and I had seen them active, and I thought this was going to be great, and we'd shown the videos. We were all excited about this, and Arden can't understand why this advertised product that we'd seen videos of and then why we had really built up, these insanely cute koalas, won't do anything. They just sit there. Now, did you know that koala bears sleep like 18 hours a day? It's like the average American teenager, and they typically wake up and eat at night. So the chances of the average Lesner family zookeeper, zoo-goer experience going to the new, brand-new Shining Star Koala exhibit and actually seeing a cute, fuzzy koala in action in full glory is probably about 0.01% if the koala bear got hungry in the middle of the day and decided to go get some eucalyptus tree. So to anyone without the ability to Google a koala in action, who simply has to rely upon the one time they might see a koala bear, there's a good chance they're going to see a whole bunch of nothing. And if they didn't have any other books or any other research about a koala bear, they're going to think that a koala is a lazy lump of fur that sits there on a tree and absolutely does nothing useful all day long. You can't even see a face to say that it provides cuteness. It just provides a big lump of gray fur. Now, to make a little bit of a stretch, I believe the same concept of us viewing the koala bears lends a lot to the weight of the compliment Paul pays off at the very first sentence of our scripture passage today. Paul says to the Philippian church in 2:12, "Just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." See, away in prison, the Philippian church really had the ability to just go nuts. They could have partied hard. They could have just given up. Who knows what the Philippian church would have been capable of, and Paul could have never known. They could have started the First United Church of Teletubbies or First United Church of whatever crazy thing they wanted to worship, and Paul would have never found out. They could have had all sorts of rituals that were pagan, and likewise, Paul would have never found out about this if they didn't want him to. And this is why Paul loves this church so much. No matter the consequences, no matter the eyes or lack of eyes that are upon them, no matter the glare of the examination upon them, they choose to shine the light of Jesus in the world. Now, Paul's instruction to them is, in fact, shine like stars in the world, which can be extremely difficult when he describes the world of the Philippian church as crooked and perverse. We all know what it's like to be in a difficult situation of peer pressure, what a difficult situation of needing to feel cool or responding to marketing or needing to be that in crowd in the world when it's described as crooked and perverse. You can just imagine that that popular crowd is not exactly the light of Christ. And Paul does get word. The Philippian church is obeying him, which means they're obeying Christ. And they aren't just shying away from the responsibilities shown to them. They're actively sacrificing to ensure the church's mission is made successful. In other words, when people are coming through the exhibit on Christianity in Philippi with all its fine propaganda and trumped up expectations, excuse me, I've been sick. When they're coming through this exhibit, no one finds the Philippian church asleep doing nothing. No one finds these supposedly cute, cuddly balls of active fur as literally balls of fur that simply seem like a waste of time. What they find is a group of people who have been shown the light and strive in all things to follow their example of Paul in pouring out themselves as sacrifices and offerings of faith in all things. See, no one can tell the koalas at the Dallas Zoo they're supposed to be on play. There's no reason why they should even care that people have paid money to see them. They're marsupials. They don't care about human beings, and they're not on display. They have no impetus to go out and put on a show. As long as they're not, you know, being threatened with their life, they can sit there and they can sleep and eat and whatever they feel like. They have no motivation. They have no impetus. They have no command to do that. But Christians, the church of Philippi and the church of Stonebridge, have more urgent marching orders from not Paul, but Christ, to be the stars that shine, as Paul says, without blemish, blameless and innocent, as a natural response to that hymn before that talked about Christ emptying himself, all that Christ did, because he is the one who makes us without blemish, blameless, and innocent. Only through his self-emptying of himself are we blameless, without blemish, and innocent. And the word that starts today, I mentioned therefore, means that today's passage is the logical conclusion to what's found in the first part of chapter 2. And I invite you to go back and read that. That Christ hymn, which is a hymn that worshipers of this day would have sang gleefully about how Christ fully emptied himself, poured out his spirit, poured out his flesh, his blood, so that the true light of the world might be seen, enjoyed, and followed. It's the light that illuminates being in full accord, as it talks about in the first part of Philippians 2, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, and in humility regarding others as better than yourselves. It's a light that points out the way away from perverse attitudes of pride and arrogance, in a way that takes corruption out of the picture as we seek to not gain from a life with Christ, but a life that gives of ourselves fully to be the betterment of the world around us. So therefore, we are not to shy away from the spotlight or the display, fading into the 18 hours of sleep darkness until we can act freely with no one watching. Instead, therefore, we are to shine like stars, showcasing the way, the truth, the life, the light of Jesus Christ for everyone everywhere. This is our new responsibility, stemming from Christ's actions, showing the way when there is no way, showing the way in the darkness. Now, theologically, we don't owe Christ a show of goodness. We don't owe Christ anything, because that's not how we're supposed to view this gift. Salvation into holiness is not a guilt sentence or a blackmail scheme, but it's a bright light given to us in the darkness of this world that inspires us to put on the greatest display of love and charity so that the world may see which way it needs to travel. Now, through the years, this one light, the light of Christ, well, it comes from one source, and that is the one true God, but we have seen it through so many different ways, so many different stories of Christ working in the world, of God's revealing of God's self to us. And eventually, somewhere along the way, if you're here today, you saw some form of light. And you saw the direction of where that pointed to. And you saw the end path of that light, and you wanted it. You wanted to go where that light was pointing. And after that, you started journeying down, and guess what? Someone saw you. And they saw the light that you reflected out of Christ, the light to point out where it goes. And they decided to follow you. You may not even know that, but they decided to follow you. And this church has a history of walking in that light, if only step by step. Now, I've shared with you over the last 3¾ years about my own faith journey off and on, but I still remember the moment I learned that one of our youth volunteers at First United Methodist Church of Allen, who was unemployed and relying upon his wife's income for survival at the time, we were at a Christian concert, and he took a step of faith and adopted two orphans from Zaire through World Vision, about $35 a month for an unemployed person. Why? Because faith led him outside of himself, and he figured God would provide. Now, I heard a couple here tell me why they joined the church, and it was because they dropped off their child in the nursery to a woman named Karen Bennett. And the next week when they came, that same woman was waiting with a smile on her face and remembered their daughter's name in the midst of a horde of kids surrounding her. Why? Because she values the lives and importance of every child who walks in her path, despite how busy they are. I had a woman come up to me after worship one time and tell me how awesome it was. And so I invited her back after worship service, and I wondered, how did she come to join us today? And she responded that a nice young man by the name of Nelson Smith had stopped to help her with a flat tire 6 months before and invited her, but it took her a while to finally get here. But she always remembered Nelson and felt like he must have a good home. Why? Because he believes kindness extends beyond the limits of his schedule. Now, you heard Carol Dean last week. You could also speak about Claire Rankin, Beverly Rogers, Sharon Boswell, Sharon Laird, countless others who take their time to devote to Malvern Elementary School, despite not having any kids that go there. You could talk about Lori Givens, Shelby Renton, Rob Gray, various others who make themselves available to be a counselor at Bridgeport Summer Camp. You can talk about Jeffrey Dietz, who's one of our youth leaders, who gives a week out of every summer to go to Seek Camp for special needs kids. Why? Because they understand that it is a young person has more than one light to seek after. It looks more like a torch, and they are more likely to arrive at the destination. and all of our missionaries, whether it be making sandwiches for the mobile food cart, whether it be Juarez, whether it be building a garden in Malvern, all the missionaries that we send out, all of our members involved in civic office, all the members who volunteer with school boards or PTA, Boy Scouts, soccer teams, all of our members, all of the church activities that litter Frisco and McKinney and Allen with service to those outside of themselves, who provide a light when perhaps there is none, a glimmer when a spark is needed, and a warmth of companionship in a world that prefers isolation. And why do we do this? Because in order to light up the darkness, the light first has to reach the darkness. See, our new responsibility does not allow us to sleep 18 hours a day in our comfort homes or church seats. 6 days a week, we cannot be silent and inactive. We cannot be cute balls of fur that everyone pays money to watch sleep. But instead, our display, our responsibilities come out of our passionate pursuit of the mind of Christ, which is this all the time, all-encompassing gift that Jesus gave to the world and that we seek to give today. Do not be afraid to be a Christian and to be known to be a Christian. And in that, I'm not saying put a Jesus fish on the back of your car. In that, I'm saying do not be afraid to be sacrificially nice to other people. Do not be afraid to inconvenience your schedule for 5 minutes or 5 days if it's for the betterment of the world. Don't be afraid to share your resources because there's a chance either you have enough or we'll find you enough. Do not be afraid of the people around you. And it's okay to take the earphones out of your ears every once in a while. Don't be ashamed of who God made you. Skinny or not, runner or not, tall or not, woman or man. Do not be afraid or ashamed of who God made you, because that's who God wants to use. Do not be ashamed of righteous priorities at the expense of society's rewards. There are a lot of happy kids who don't have two-story houses. And do not be ashamed to let people know why you are not afraid or ashamed. Because with Christ, we have eternal hope, eternal love, a light that shines so brightly that our flashlights reflect it. Our mirrors reflect it. Our lives reflect it. Our souls shine that light out into the world so that others might see the direction we're going. And that is our responsibility. A light that continues to shine for all eternity, and the world will eventually wake up and make its way home to that light. So don't be afraid to let the light you have received shine at all times, because someone will see that light and will see the end of that light and see where the path leads, and they will want to follow you. And then somebody will want to follow them. And after that, somebody will want to follow them. And eventually, we will make our way home into that righteous life where we all shine like stars, because we are reflecting the source of the true light, the very Son of God that gives all hope and inspiration into the world. And that is our responsibility because of the emptying of Christ. Because not many people I know who have felt that emptying, who have felt that joy in their hearts, not many people I know can sit still after that. Not many people can sleep for 18 hours a day after that. It's a gift we've been given, and our responsibility is to use that gift wisely. Our responsibility is to go to shine at all times so that the world may see the way, the truth, and the joyful light of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, let our light shine. Let us shine if we are little children. Let us shine if we are old men and women. Let us shine in between. Let our light be the source of joy for this world, a joy that seeks a path that is far greater than the darkness, and a light that shows the outcome that is so much happier than what we could imagine. Lord, let us look to your word. Let us look to Jesus. Let us look to those people in our lives we look up to see the light and to go and be the light. Amen. had just an idea today that there are a lot of stories that go unshared in terms of the light we've seen. I mean, just little things that showcase light for me. There was one instance where Lindsay and I were walking down the street. We were just walking down downtown McKinney, and this guy literally throws a cup, like, straight out of his window. You wouldn't think you'd do it where everybody could see you do it, but 7-Eleven cup just comes right out the window, and three people are telling the guy he's number one down there, and this other just, you know, 45-year-old woman goes, picks up the trash, throws it away, and goes about her day. And there was no malice. It was simply, I'm going to do what's right in that moment. And for some reason, that just spoke volumes to me. This little thing. There are huge stories that I could share. But I wanted to open up the floor this time, and with a caveat of that I don't want to scare you, but if no one feels led to call, we're just going to close worship early and go out to fellowship stations early. But I wanted to give people an opportunity to share any time that you have seen the light of Christ this week. And so if anybody has an opportunity, I'll come give you the mic. I ask you to be brief so that everybody can share, and we'll go for as long as we can. So, and tell everybody your name, too, so we can get to know you.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on.
Hi, I'm Brian Riley. Last week, my wife and son and I had a chance to go into Washington, D.C., and it was a great 2 days. We took one of those little trolley rides, and as we were waiting for the trolley to take off, we looked over, and there was this Korean gentleman about 45, 50 years old, and he was singing All Is Well With My Soul, and there was no one around. He was singing to all the trolley guests, and a very good voice, and he just had a sign, and it said, U.S., get back to the Bible. And when he finished singing, he picked up a trumpet, and he played the trumpet, and he was a phenomenal trumpet player. And what surprised me was a gentleman came over and he had a couple dollars in his hand. Normally you drop the dollars into their case. Well, the case was closed. He didn't want their money. All he wanted to do was share his faith. Kevin and I took photos of him because it was just something that, you know, touched our heart. And he was just doing it there to spread the word. But again, he didn't want anything in return. So we thought that was just a great, great example.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. Give Brian a round of applause for sharing. Anybody? I'm just going with hand raises, so. And awkward silence always is good silence, so.
Hi, I'm GR. One of the things that I've seen in the last, I guess it wasn't this last week, it was a couple weeks ago. My niece and her softball team were kind of making a run to the state title game. They ended up getting second. But one of the things that was really impressive was every time those girls were interviewed and they talked, this is a public high school in Illinois, and every time they did, they talked about how blessed they were. They talked about their pregame ritual of praying. They talked about how God had brought them together and given them the opportunity to do this. It's just a really neat way that these young girls were sharing their faith in a forum that I think a lot of times now is sort of frowned upon. So that was really neat that they took that opportunity.
Thank you, GR. Anybody? I'll share one real briefly. I read a story on the news about a girl who was in last place, in a track meet and was running along, and the girl in front of her, I think, was just, I mean, she was exhausted. She was done. There was nothing physically left in her, and so the girl in last place running up, I could only imagine her thinking, oh, I'm not going to be in last place. I'm not going to be in last place until the girl in front of her is literally about to fall down, and so she decides to help the girl cross the finish line before her. So she does come in last place, but shows the true mark of sportsmanship, and I thought that was a pretty compelling story. So, yeah, thanks. I get paid to do this. Don't clap for me. No, I'm just kidding. What's your name, ma'am?
Sharon Boswell.
And most people know.
And this, I don't know, I'm just kind of a public service announcement, I guess. But this week we had mini missions for the youth. Monday through Friday, the kids did something every day. Mostly going to senior citizen assisted living, Alzheimer units, that kind of stuff. Walking with them, giving devotional, singing, playing bingo, washing windows, all kinds of stuff. And we had about 20 kids per day that went, and it was a wonderful experience.
Awesome. Yeah. Anybody? Come to you next, Ernie.
I'm Jamie Worley, and I was sitting here thinking you gave us the timeline of 1 week, which is kind of difficult. But it kind of got me thinking that it's really all about the day-to-day and the daily. And I was thinking about that I had a little one that was sick and vomited in a friend's car this week. And I was just thinking about how my friends all reached out to me, you know, checking on how she was doing. Can I go to the grocery store for you? The Wings offered to get my groceries because the next day was the day I was going to do that and I couldn't leave the house. And so I think it's just, you know, the friends that we make here as we support each other day after day, that we show Christ in the things that we do to help out a friend when you're having a rough day or a rough week or whatever. So.
Thank you, Jamie.
My name's Ernie Sanders. Yesterday, my wife and I were driving to Kroger, or driving by a Kroger, and as we were coming across, there's two elderly women that were walking out of the store, and they could barely push their cart. And so we'd stopped because we were driving across, and some man, and typically most of us, always in a hurry, you know, focused to get our job done, go in, get our stuff, get out. Some guy was walking up, saw him struggling, went over to help him. And so, I mean, he took the time out to do that, didn't even know him. So somewhat impressed with that.
I hope what you can see from these stories, and we're not done, I mean, you can share any more, but what you can see from these stories and the reason why we want to do this is to see that there is so much light in the world just in the day-to-day and the things around us. I mean, if you listen to the news too much, everything is bad, everything's going down the toilet, and there is so much light in the world, and it's so much light that we need to reflect, and so much light that we need to bring to light so that other people can see that Jesus is working in the world and that Jesus is doing wonderful things through all of his followers and just through himself. And so that's the reason we're doing this. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to close by another story that I have, and this is something that actually did happen from this week. Is there was a young man that I worked with for 1 year. He was a senior in high school when I was in Kansas, and he is at KU and was not doing well. He was majoring in art history, which there is exactly one job you can get, I think, if you major in art history. And he wasn't on any track to get into master's program, and he probably wasn't getting hired for that one job you can get in art history. And so on Monday, he informed his parents he was dropping out of college, which was not a wonderful decision in my book or his parents' book. Let me put it this way. He informed his parents that he had dropped out of college. He had just stopped going. He hadn't been going for the last 2 weeks. And he moved home to Topeka and was kind of being in his parents' house, and you can imagine the tension that was in that relationship between them. And so he never really got connected with campus ministry. I am his pastor still. We communicate on probably a monthly basis. His name is Michael. And was chatting with me on Facebook and was trying to figure out what he was doing, and I kind of didn't treat it well and reprimanded him a little bit for dropping out of college and not sticking it out and all this kind of stuff, and we ended on a peaceful note. And then 3 days later, though, I get this message that says something to the effect of, I know I'm not going back to college right now. I don't want to work at Wendy's or Sonic or any of the other options I have right now. Have you heard anything about the US-2 missionary program? And I said, yeah, I know exactly what that is. That's a United Methodist Global Missions program for young people to go do internships around the world. And he said, well, you know, someone at the church told me I should do this. And I thought, if as long as I'm wasting my life, I might as well waste my life by serving other people. And I said, well, I think you've found the exact opposite of wasting your life. And we worked through it, and he is applying right now to be a US-2 missionary through the United Methodist Church and wants to go back to Honduras, where he was originally born, to serve those people. So it was one of those things of God works in mysterious ways, perhaps, in that. And I saw a lot of light in that. So I just want to end in prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to DMAC to close us in. But I hope that you have been encouraged that you can be the light of the world. Everybody can be the light of the world. People are watching. You are watching. And you're obviously looking at stories. And so I want you to look for the good stories. I want you to look for the light that shines so that you can reflect that light. I want you to look ultimately to the light of Christ, that gift of light, of death and resurrection and miracles and healings, of all those joys that came from Christ to us. And reflect that into the world, because we always say in here, it's too good to keep to yourself.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.